It's hard not to be moved by images like that, but some pictures capture the world's attention more than others. We begin with an image that emerged last night from the frantic attempts to rescue people caught in the aftermath of airstrikes in Aleppo. And again, another warning, some images in this story you may find disturbing.
Airstrikes are Aleppo's terrible routine. This one hit an apartment building in the city's rebel-held area. Amateur video captured the frantic scramble to save lives amid horror. Then a boy, pulled from the rubble, sits in an ambulance. He's dazed, bloodied, covered in dust. He wipes his face. His name, Omran Dakhnish, age 5. He survived without major injuries, so did his parents and 3 young siblings. Almost immediately, his image swept across social media around the world, making Omran the latest symbol of heartbreak in the now 5-year-old conflict. But do such images spark action? If so, when and how? Last year, as the refugee crisis swelled, one photo came to embody the tragedy. A drowned 3-year-old Syrian boy pictured lying face down on a Turkish beach. It galvanized European leaders to review how they take in refugees and asylum seekers. Other instances had less impact. In 2012, a documentary about Ugandan warlord Joseph Kony went viral. It detailed the brutal tactics of his Lord's Resistance Army and the group's use of child soldiers. With the hashtags Kony2012 and StopKony, it sparked global calls for his arrest. But 4 years later, Kony reportedly remains at large. And in April 2014, the Islamist group Boko Haram seized more than 270 girls from their school in northeast Nigeria. It led to the Bring Back Our Girls campaign, repeated and circulated by prominent figures like First Lady Michelle Obama. But this week, new video from Boko Haram surfaced showing dozens of the girls still in captivity more than 2 years later.
We take a closer look at the power of these images with Anne Barnard, the New York Times Beirut bureau chief, and Susan Moeller. She's a professor in the Philip Merrill College of Journalism at the University of Maryland. She's also author of Compassion Fatigue, How the Media Sell Disease, Famine, War, and Death. Anne, I want to start with you. Every day on social media, there are more graphic, more violent pictures of little children than this. What is it about this image of little Omran that connected?
Well, you know, speaking for myself, I see pictures that are literally gruesome beyond belief, that are hard to process mentally, and they're painful and compelling in one way. But this picture, I think, resonated in some ways because it's something easier to connect to. It's a child in distress. It's almost ineffable to explain why, but some of the gestures he made could easily remind you of a child you've known. Some of, his clothing. He was wearing a shirt with a Nickelodeon character on it. I think it's like with Alan Kurdi, whose body was, he was dead, but his body was intact, and it reminded people of, you know, a child sleeping on a beach. And I think, in a way, that's more shareable in a social media age than a really gruesome picture of death.
Susan, why did this picture pop? Why did it get around the world in 20 seconds?
I think one of the reasons is because the child's looking at us, but with a really blank stare. We're often, we see on the news and we see in relief aid agency comments that, you know, help this child, and the child's looking at us, and it almost seems like the child's asking us to do something. And Omran was also that same pleading character.
So, and what impacts do these images have the potential to yield?
Well, you know, that's a mixed bag. We can certainly think of examples in history, like the famous picture of the girl burned by napalm by the U.S. military in Vietnam. That arguably changed public opinion and maybe moved policy ultimately. I think, on the other hand, many images go viral or touch people for a moment, and then people move on. So I think certainly among Syrians on all sides of the conflict, there is a increasing mix of anger that comes up when people express sympathy about an image like this, because it's like, well, really, you only just notice now that this is happening after 5 years, and you know, it's happened enough times without anything changing that people's expectations are really low.
Susan, is the potential for a government policy shift, or is it about people being moved on a personal level?
As Anne suggested, normally government policy doesn't shift with images. There may be rhetoric, there may be a press conference held, there may be sympathy expressed, but you don't typically get change. What you do get is attention, and with enough attention, then you may get some reaction that actually has an effect.
And are people motivated to take action? Are there cases where it might not be a government policy shift, but individuals mobilized to such an extent that there is impactful change?
Well, I certainly have had many people ask me, how can I help people like this? What organizations are doing work that can help civilians that are caught in this conflict? Other advocacy groups are jumping on this to say, well, this is enough is enough. It's time to take more robust action to stop these airstrikes by the Russians and the Syrian government. Others are, you know, saying, well, there's not an easy answer. There's not some people don't find this a reason to change U.S. policy. So it depends on the person. Some reactions are political, some are more humanitarian. But I do think a lot of people felt it like a punch in the gut. Even I did after all of this time covering the conflict.
So, Susan, what are people left to do about it? I mean, is writing a check the answer? I mean, there's a sense of helplessness when you see this image, too.
Yeah, I think Omran has become, you know, the current poster child for Syria for this moment in time, just like Alan Kurdi did a year ago, and we've had other small children do in years past. And I think a poster child does help us reach into our wallets, reach into our pockets, and give. I wrote a book called Compassion Fatigue, and in that I suggested that one of the reasons why people sometimes say enough is when they feel helpless, is when they feel like they can't make a difference. And I think being able to figure out how to make a difference can be something that a photograph like Omran can do. In other words, identifying an aid agency. Alan Kurdi, for example, in the 24 hours after that photograph appeared, just one refugee agency received almost $250,000. So you can say that help is given that wouldn't have been given otherwise.
And is there a correlation between things that we can do at home, say it's a Confederate flag issue or an LGBT issue that people get fired up about, versus things overseas that might require the action of different governments and armies and tanks to move into places?
Well, I do think that people find it a bit opaque how they can affect foreign policy, especially nowadays in the era of just wars that are going on behind the scenes and with drones. And I do think, however, that, you know, now that there is a more active protest movement going on in the United States, anything can happen. But again, the issues are very complex and multi-sided. You know, people remember that the war in Iraq was a huge failure, and they're wary of the Middle East in general. They don't know much about it. And I also think there's an element where, you know, as we've seen, there is a fear of Muslims, there is an element of racism, and there is perhaps a conflation of innocent Muslim civilians with a fear of terrorism that is an obstacle to empathy for many people. And so pictures like this, hopefully, whatever your political stripe, remind you that we're talking about just ordinary human beings.
Anne Barnard of the New York Times joining us from Beirut. Susan Moeller of the University of Maryland, thanks for being here.
Thank you.